We're in 2 Peter, as you know, and we're going to move forward after tonight's message on the growing in grace part of it. And I hope you'll listen truly tonight with your hearts. 2 Peter chapter 1, and now you'll notice verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, it's very near. All of these traits are in you. It's not just academic. Is part of who you are as a person. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. That means that you are a blessing, like fruit trees are. Vineyards are a blessing. You don't want to be barren as a believer. I don't, for sure. And we don't want to be unfruitful at all. We want to be useful. How? In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. You have no discernment, cannot see afar off. You just live for the present. You don't recognize that there's an eternal plan. Your perspective is just for the here and now because you haven't grown spiritually, so you don't see afar off either. And the past, you've forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. There goes back that same giving all diligence. To make your calling and election sure, not to make it true, it's true, but to make it visible, certain, if you will. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. That's a wonderful promise. This kind of spiritual growth gives you grace to stand. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing. You're going to get a welcome when you get to glory with this kind of spiritual growth. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And I ask, God, that we'll understand the power, the glory, the amazing blessing this text is for all of us. And having learned the past several weeks already from 1 Peter, now to 2 Peter, about what it means to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Speak to our hearts, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, before we move on in 2 Peter from this opening text on spiritual growth, I want us to take note again of, as we mentioned several weeks ago, the bookends to this epistle. Because what they remind us of is that Peter, what he's doing here in this letter, is obeying that earlier command by the Lord Jesus by the seaside when the resurrected Jesus appeared to Peter and he said, feed my lamb, feed my sheep. And he said, you will strengthen the brethren when you're converted. It was Peter who wrote, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. That was in his first epistle. So what are the bookends? Well, look at verse 2 of this first chapter. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So now we look at verse 5. Beside this giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue to virtue, knowledge, and so on. Well, what's the last verse of the book? Look at chapter 3. These are the bookends. The first one, giving all diligence. Now, the last one is verse 18, but grow in grace. There it is. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Well, that brings us then to verse 8, because that's where we left off last time, and here's what it says. For if these things be in you and abound. What things? Well, all those seven things that are described in the three previous verses that we've been studying the past few weeks. Virtue, kindness, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and then the highest of all, where you'll find less people, agape love, sacrificial love. For Simon, and he opens this epistle with his name Simon and Peter, reminding us that he didn't have all of these graces before with the old name, before he was called the Rock by Jesus. For Simon, these are attributes that he wasn't known for necessarily his entire life, but he became known for because he grew in grace. He grew in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ, Oh, yeah. Look at verse 1 again, and I love this. Simon Peter, there it is. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, that's what we talked about on Sunday, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, this text tonight is for us. Peter says, for us. We're included with him. It is for all of us, and it is a message from our Lord Jesus. What it offers us, if we've noted before, is nothing less than life-changing, miraculous growth in spirit, in character, in the Christian life. I'll put it this way. If I ever had to do a character report, Andy used to come home from Publix with those little reports they didn't make him do. I don't know what those are, Steve. They make him do these reports. And he said, look, Dad, I got 100 and 100 and 100 and 100. I was like, you know how to schmooze. You're good at that. They should give you 1,000 for that. But if I got a character report and it said, Jim Blaylock, virtue, check. Knowledge, check. Temperance, check. Godliness, check. Brotherly kindness, agape love, check. Man alive. If all of that was true of me, or if an angel from heaven came down and said, hey, listen, I have news for you. He announced to me many, many years ago, one day you're going to have a son. And that son of yours, by the grace of God, will have in him knowledge, self-control, kindness, agape love, patience, all these things shall be in him. I'd be thrilled, completely thrilled. And wouldn't you? All of these things within one child of God, within one Christian walking by faith. I mean, what more could you ever hope for? And yet, the promise is for more. Verse 8 again, for if these things be in you, these seven things, and abound, they will make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a guarantee for this, and I want to remind you of it before we go on, because I want to talk about how you practically do this. What does it mean? The guarantee that you can do this as a child of the living God, you can't sit out there and say, well, yeah, but that's just not me. I'll never be like brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so or whatever. No, you will and you can because you're guaranteed something. Verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and what? Virtue. In other words, look, to use an old illustration I've used before, you picture a farm for a moment, and not just any farm, but a magnificent farm, a fantastic farm that is gifted to you. And let's say this farm was gifted to you with all of the tools, with all of the seed and the water source and the location. Perfect location, the tractors, fertilizers, pesticides, strength that you will ever need to see that farm produce. You were given, to use these words, all things that pertain unto farming and production. He said, Pastor, I would need a well. You got it. I would need some livestock. Done. I'd need trucks and tractors. You got that too. I'll need a spreader, and I'll need a composter, and a trailer, and tools, and fencing, and ecosystem, all yours. But Pastor, I'll need some hired hands, some seed, some cash. Yeah, I know, and the promise is you have all things that pertain to farming and production. Not most things, not some of the things that you will need, but not even a lot of things, but all of the things. So in other words, before Peter even says, grow in grace, before he ever says, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and to knowledge temperance, before he ever says to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, he says, you have everything you need. You've been a partaker of the divine nature. You have been given everything that you need. In fact, he tells us where. this amazing provision comes from. We read it a moment ago, verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. In other words, the divine power is in Jesus and in this book. We have it all. In the aftermath of the American Civil War, there was a very popular phrase that was connected to this sort of vague promise that was given to the freed slaves. And it was that they would be compensated, quote, with 40 acres and a mule. That was Edward Stanton. All of them who have been freed, we will give you, the government will give you 40 acres and a mule. Well, 40 acres and a mule is hardly all things that pertain unto farming and production. This is not what God's power, what the divine power has promised every single believer. And I want you to do me one big favor right now. Do not think about the person beside you. Don't think about the person behind you or the person in front of you. The minute you start doing that, you are not going to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So here we have these promises. When it comes to life and godliness, okay, and a life that will glorify Jesus, when it comes to spiritual growth in your lips, in your life, in your character, including, you see it, virtue, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, kindness, perfect love, you already have it. By God's power, you already have everything you need to accomplish what God wants to do with this growth. You say, well, Pastor, that's ridiculous. I know lots of Christians who haven't grown in these areas. That's why you were thinking about the person next to you and behind you, and why I felt compelled to say something. I know lots of people. Kindness? Patience? Nope. Self-control? I know believers who lack these things, preacher. Of course you do. We are those believers who lack in some of these things. Look at verse 4. Whereby, that is, all these things, divine power given us, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. In other words, look, if you were given, here's the point, if you were given all things that pertain to farming and production, everything that you would need, you're given this farm, all the provisions you will ever need, guess what? Now, he just said, beside this, giving all diligence. You still have to plant seed. It's in the bags. If you are given all things that you will ever need, you still have to farm. Matter of fact, you have to give all diligence to that farm. That brand new tractor that was given to you, by somebody's grace, it's not going to run itself. Yeah, there's a well. You have to go draw the water out several times a day. You have to purpose to do something on purpose. Now, the pastor, the promise is, you know, I've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness, and these things are already in me. That's true. But it doesn't just say, if these things are in you, they shall make you that you shall never be barren nor unfruitful. That's not what it says. What it says, if these things are in you, what? Verse 8, and abound. If these things are in you and abound. Now, wait a minute. The word abound is obviously crucial to this text. And it's connected to the words giving all diligence. Verse 5 again. And beside this, beside being a partaker of the divine nature, beside being given all things you need, giving all diligence, add. Verse 10, look at it. Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, if ye do them, if you abound, if you add and add, you will never fall. If you're a Christian, verse 4 says, you're a partaker of God's divine nature. That's what it means, being born again, born into his family. We're child of the living God. It's a miracle of God's grace. You have therefore been given all things as an heir and a joint heir, all things that pertain to life and godliness. You've obtained like precious faith. You've escaped the corruption, hallelujah, that is in this world. The last line of verse 9 says, you've been purged from your old sins. No question, these things are in you. The question now is, do they abound? You see, the Bible says in verse 5 that we are to add to our faith all these elements of growth. The question is, how do you add them? And here's the thing. With this addition, how does it turn to abounding? How is it that a tree with one apple on it becomes a tree with multiple apples all through it? The Greek word for abound in verse 8 is pleonazo. It's the same word, by the way, used in Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So this word abound, what Peter is saying is that these things are in you, and you've been given all things by the grace of God, and you add to them. Of course, you add to them, and you keep adding to them, obviously, because who in this room gets all the knowledge they need once? I mean, you're here tonight, and you were here last week. You can't say, well, I'm done. Read your Bible on Monday, I'm done. Finished. No, it means you keep adding it, the knowledge. You keep adding the knowledge and the kindness. I showed one act of kindness. I'm good for the rest of my life. You keep adding the kindness and the godliness and the patience. You don't just get a single helping of it. You don't think that these guns came from one visit to the gym? Who whistled over there? That's you, Mitchell. All right, picture it this way. Another illustration I've used. Picture an old-fashioned set of scales. What the Bible calls a balance, right? You have a balance. You have basically two, let's say, plates, if you will. And in these pans or these plates, either side of a beam or a fulcrum, you can determine the weight of whatever mass you put on the other side. Anything from tomatoes to diamonds to gold. And as an illustration, with that picture in your mind, folks, what Peter is teaching here with this word abound, we need to remember, is connected to the word add. So we've been talking about it every week. Add to your faith. Before Christ, there was no saving faith at all. So again, if you use the scales as an illustration, and you know they're here and they have this counterweight, that's what would happen if the counterweight's over here and nothing's in the other pan. That's really the picture of a person who's lost, who's in the old flesh, right? They have no hope. I mean, they can pretend to have agape love or godliness, but they really have no hope at all. And so, yeah, their whole life is just drag. It's just a pull constantly down of the flesh and of the world and the mind of the flesh. It's a downward pull. But when you obtain this amazing gift, this like precious faith through Christ, what happens? Well, you become a child of God, and the flesh has met its match. So you have, but the flesh is still there. Paul talks about this in Romans, as you know. So here you have this child of God. Now you're a partaker of the, you're already instantly a miracle. When you get born again, you're saved. You're a partaker of the divine nature so that these things are in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The flesh has met its match. However, the promise doesn't say if these things simply be in you. If they be in you, it says, and abound. So let's think about these scales for a moment. Because that word, simply abound, it simply means to add. It means more. More and more and more. Now let's go back to the set of scales. You have the flesh. You have the new birth. What happens if you add spiritually? The spiritual side.
a little more. Well, it starts to do this. And a little more, just a little more of these things. The knowledge of Christ, virtue, brotherly kindness. You just add a little more. And then you add some more. Anybody in this room ever work with scales? You know, you add a little more. Louise used to work at a jeweler, and they'd have these little teeny tiny ones. And you'd watch it and just go, boom. If you keep on adding, pretty soon what happens is what they call tipping the scales. It won't balance even a little bit. It'll just go, boom, all the way down. All right? Put it this way. Growing in grace to the point that you are conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Some of you no doubt have heard this phrase, tipping the scales. Our media uses tipping the scales as a phrase all the time. They talk about our economy is getting to a point where the debt is tipping the scales, or some of the, they use the phrase constantly because they love Malcolm Gladwell. And Malcolm Gladwell once wrote a book called Tipping Point. And in that book, he talks about how social issues have a tipping point. And that's what happened with gay marriage. You know, gay marriage didn't happen like, boom, overnight. It was year after year after year after year, and then came along Biden and Obama, and they tipped the scales. And that's why he wrote that book, that social change comes by you just keep adding a little and a little and a little, and you can tip the scales of an entire society. It's like cow tipping. But Chris Hammond used to do that in Ohio. You know, what you do is cow tipping, you just push the cow and you push it and you push it and you push it. And then pretty soon you get it to a point where it just falls over on its own weight. This is the core of what this word abound means in this text. It is taking these graces, it is taking these things that are already in you because you're a partaker of the divine nature and simply adding to them and keep on adding to them. And pretty soon there's a tipping point. Now, is it permanent? No. Because you know what? You can always stop. And then the flesh does this. And the flesh does this. There's a word for that in the Bible. It's called backsliding. And the flesh does this. So you keep adding, and then it changes you. And you know, nobody demonstrated this glory more than Peter himself. There's a reason why the Gospels reveal to us Peter is sort of impetuous. He talks over everybody. He does this. He pulls out his sword and... That's nothing like the Apostle Peter that we know and we read about in 1 and 2 Peter. It's just a reminder that this man, being Simon Peter, he gives us his old name, being exhibit A of spiritual growth, that this man is a reminder that we're all of us in this room are and will always be a work in progress. Always. Add until it abounds and abounds and abounds. We are a work that requires giving all diligence so that you just add to what's already there. And again, folks, look, this is the real miracle. Because you're saved, because Christ in you, the hope of glory, you have the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, because you're a partaker of the divine nature and you've been delivered from the bondage of darkness, of sin and darkness, purged from your old wickedness and sins, because of all of that, you don't have to add a boatload. Just add some, and then add some more. You have spiritual knowledge, you have knowledge of the Word of God, awesome, add some more. You've demonstrated godliness in your life, fantastic, add some more. It doesn't have to be a cargo container 5 days after you get saved. This is called growth, and growth means a little more. A little more patience, a little more godliness, a little more self-control. How about you add tomorrow a little more kindness, brotherly kindness? That's what the Bible says. Look, we have all watched lost people. Some are in this room that I know very well. We have all watched lost people who were once mean and bitter and selfish, and they have become the kindest people on earth. That's a miracle. They didn't go to a seminar and get that. First, God did a miracle of salvation, right? Now, God is able to add to that, to their faith, and as they grow, you'd never know. They were the same person before they got saved. John Jasper used to say that when people got truly saved,
great African-American preacher during the Civil War. He said when people, former slave, when people got truly saved in the old days, you could see it in the way they treated their mule. Even that changed. So you want to be a different, better person 6 months from now than you are tonight? Give all diligence. Add to your faith. Well, Pastor, I already have brotherly kindness. Well, of course you do. You're a child of God. And the love of God abideth in you. John said, if it doesn't abide in you, you're not even his child. So yeah, of course you have some brotherly kindness, but if these things be in you and abound, why are you going to stop now? If these things be in you, you're saved, and they abound, so that it's there, but you have to add to it. And you add to it, and you add to it, and you add to it. So that then eventually kindness is not something that you have, it's actually who you are. It's your character. It's what you're known for. That's why people who read Scripture and attend church and pray and give praise and glory to God and grow in grace, it's like they're always tipping the scales. Like they're always tipping the scales in the direction of faith. And here's what happens eventually, as we noted, you're not just someone with kindness in you, but because you're abounding, people know you as brotherly kindness. It's who you are, right? It's not just what you have. You don't just have moderation, but as the Bible says, your moderation is known unto all men. You're famous for it. It's part of your very character and your testimony. Now again, we have been given all things that pertain to this life, to this godliness, and it's not just a farm, but all the tools, all the tractors, the trailers, the well, everything you will ever need. And God says, okay, now your turn, work the farm. Don't miss church. You're going to skip church? There's something about the knowledge of God and His Word you're going to miss, and so you're not adding it. Now you might be adding MTV Music Awards or something. I don't know what you're watching instead of being in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, whatever. Don't miss church. Don't skip the Scriptures. Read them in the morning. Don't neglect your prayer life. Verse 9 says, don't forget who you are. You are a partaker of the divine nature. Doesn't mean you're a little God. We're not gods, but we are born of God. Chapter 1, look at verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wait a minute, what? He's going from your life and adding to your faith and abounding and adding, you know, these patience and temperance. And then he says, so an entrance. An entrance shall be made, ministered unto you, abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. One of the reasons why the everlasting kingdom is on Peter's mind right here is while he's teaching on adding, growing in grace, one of the reasons why he's thinking about God's kingdom, the everlasting part of it, he's about to go there. And he knows it. Look at verse 14. Knowing that shortly, soon, I must put off this my tabernacle, my earthly body, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Remember when he told him? And he said, what about John? Remember on that same time he was telling him, feed my sheep? Jesus showed him he was going to die. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, I'm going to die soon, to have these things always in remembrance. You see, folks, Peter understood that all of this growth, all of these virtues and graces aren't just for the here and now. He says that it gives you an entrance into the everlasting kingdom. Not that you're earning salvation, as you'll see in a moment. That's not it at all. These things aren't just so, you know, well, during my time here on earth, it makes me healthier, prosperous, or wealthier, or anything like that. No, it's not just for the here and now. And it's not just a matter of you working the entire farm, your entire life, and then there's an estate tax when you die and it's all left behind. Just, oh well. No, these things are in you, and as being in you from God, and you're a partaker, you're born into His family, guess what? They're a part of the everlasting kingdom. Nothing else is. Do you ever think about that? I remember I was watching Ronaldo years ago, and he's, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo was, I don't know if he still is, considered the greatest soccer player in the world. Was he, Rick? Yeah, that's subjective. Is he now? Yeah. I mean, he was amazing. I think he played for Portugal. And all those years, I mean, little tiny boy honing his gifts, his talents, his skills, his instincts in that sport. He had developed his feet, surpassing the skills of 8 billion people in the world. And yet when he dies, all of that talent, all of that ability, all of that skill goes right to the grave with him. But he leaves his trophies behind. All right. I guess so, including that sculpture at Madeira Airport. Remember that? And they unveiled it, and it looked like Quasimodo, and it was horrid looking. It looked like Scrooge's door knocker on his door. He even laughed. When they unveiled it, he went, pfft. It was awful. The sculptor that did it told the media, he said, well, even Jesus made mistakes. Actually, he didn't, bro, but nice try. But it's true. Ronaldo and all those amazing gifts, all those abilities go to the grave with him. Just like Einstein took his brain with him. Paganini took his violin. Pavarotti took his voice. Da Vinci took his brain. Cleopatra took her beauty. Jane Austen took her pen. 1,000 other lifetimes and talents and skills and abilities, and all of yours as well, if you're so good at something. Bobby Jones could not pass on his golf genius to another person, not one. He had a natural ability. Samson had a natural gift that was given to them, but you know what? When they died, it died with them. I read about a guy who spent his entire life, and he was able to do it, to turn his head almost 360 degrees. He spent his whole life training himself to do that. Oh, never mind. That's kind of dumb. Maybe they buried him with all the way down and just, I don't know. I know this. When it comes to this, when it comes to growing the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's not just for here. Peter attaches it to the everlasting kingdom. It's not just for now. You know why? Because this is a work, as we read in the last verse of this book, that glorifies him. Your life, if it grows in grace, that agape love, that goes on. Your life will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of Christians treat spiritual growth like the houseplant that sits in the corner. That houseplant that's neglected, not watered, no sunlight, it sits over there and it just barely alive. It doesn't bless or glorify anyone. Christians who have the same bad temper 20 years after they got saved, and they call it their personality. It's just my personality. That's not abounding. That's putting the flesh in a museum and not letting God work a miracle in your heart and your life. I'll say again, spiritual growth and abounding does not happen by accident. It's like if I were to join the fitness gym and I went, paid the dues, and I wore the t-shirt, but I never touched the equipment. Just putting the check on, I've accepted Christ and I got baptized. And you know, here's a weird thing. Maybe nobody notices after a year you're saved. You've been saved a year, nobody notices that you're still a baby Christian. You still have the same carnal appetites and desires, and you still use the same swear words. They're still in your vocabulary. Maybe after a year, nobody really notices. Maybe after 2 years. Maybe even 5 years you've been saved. Every child is cute when they're a child. New converts are exciting. They're cute. But a 30-year-old man with a baby bottle, that's a crisis, right? So you have Christians that have been saved 20 years and they have temper tantrums like when they were 3 years old. And it's a crisis. It's a 30-year-old man or woman with a baby bottle in their mouth. So tonight, let us see how our Lord treasures spiritual growth in his people. Way before he wrote these epistles, Jesus said, Peter, come here, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do for me. When you're converted, you're going to strengthen the brethren. From this point, when I'm ascended, you are going to feed my sheep. Let us see how Jesus treasured spiritual growth. These seven graces aren't meant to sit in our soul like ornaments on a shelf, gathering dust. They're meant to grow. And you add more, and you add more, and you give all diligence. So the next time someone cuts you off in traffic, you don't just, So you know what? I'm gonna show patience. And the next time you show a little more, and the next time something, patience, you keep adding and adding. And then you start to abound. They grow in you until you become this fruitful, steady, useful, radiant, persuasive believer. And you change other people's lives. An overflowing cup spills on other people. And the believer who adds to his faith and just keeps adding, doesn't stop, and keeps on adding until he abounds every day, not just in the dramatic moments, by the way, but this is adding, you know, this is the lifetime, this is growth. You're adding on those ordinary days of just yielding yourself. A little more knowledge of God, a little more knowledge of the Bible. Just like tonight, you did it. More kindness when you don't feel like it. Brotherly kindness. More patience when it's needed. So that verse 11, let's look at it again and we'll close. I love it. Peter knows he's about to die. For in so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That growing believer doesn't drift through life empty-handed, and he now faces our Lord, and it's not empty-hearted. In fact, it's a warm welcome. What a changed life can do. Ultimately, this is the believer who reaches this miracle pinnacle point of sacrificial love. They have died to self, and they are living completely for Christ. And what is that? The text we looked at last week over and over and over again, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law is fulfilled in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Who does that? Only this person who grows, who adds and adds. And that person is you. I should say, God wants that person to be you. So be in it for the long haul. Looking unto Jesus, run with patience the race that is set before you. And God's people said, Father, thank you for your word. Please help us to see that growth is glorious, that it glorifies Jesus, that a changed life does not glorify us, that these virtues that the world doesn't even hold up necessarily always give you the glory because they're not natural. May we purpose in our hearts to give all diligence to add to our faith, to keep adding, because if these things be in us and abound, we will not be barren or unfruitful. Bless the fellowship now of your people, and thank you for that. In Jesus' precious name, amen.